Well, happy Sabbath, dear ones, and welcome to our main church service on this third day of November 2018. Welcome to those joining with us on the phone or on the recording or on WLMR radio, and we're here in the room and glad to have you with us in fellowship today. God's Sabbath day, the memorial of His creation, as well as His recreationary power in taking mankind from sin to righteousness and from loving iniquity into loving the truth. So greetings, one and all. And our opening song for today's service is titled More Like the Master. More like the Master I would ever be, more of His meekness, more humility, more zeal to labor, more courage to be true, more consecration for the work He bids me do. Take Thou my heart, I would be Thine alone. Take Thou my heart and make it all Thine own. Purge me from sin, O Lord, I now implore. Wash me and keep me Thine forevermore. Purge me from
More like my Master is my daily prayer, more strength to carry the crosses I must bear, more earnest effort to bring His kingdom in, more of His Spirit the wonders to win. Can you go ahead, dear one? I think I've lost the chorus.
It's okay, dear sister. Take Thou my heart, I would be Thine alone. Take Thou my heart and make it all Thine own. Purge me from sin, O Lord, I now implore. Wash me and keep me Thine forevermore. Purge me from sin, O Lord, I now implore. Wash me and keep me Thine forevermore. More like the Master I would live and grow. More of His love to others I would show. More self-denial like His in Galilee. More like the Master I long to ever be. Take Thou my heart, I would be Thine alone. Take Thou my heart and make it all Thine own. Purge me from sin, O Lord, I now implore. Wash me and keep me Thine forevermore. Purge me from sin, O Lord, I now implore. Wash me and keep me Thine forevermore. And the Savior will do just that if you give Him your heart. And thank you, Savior. It's time for opening prayer, and who would like to offer that for us before we delve into the sermon for today? Please go right ahead.
Dear Father in heaven, we want You to be the master of our soul. And therefore, we give our hearts to You right at this moment again. Thank You for watching over us and waking us up this morning. and forgive us where we have sinned. Thank you, dear Lord, for doing this. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. And I thank you, dear sister. Well, this is part 5 of our series, The One True Church of God. And last time in part 4, we discovered that God desires those who are personally connected with Jesus Christ to gather together with other believers in fellowship. But they are only to fellowship together with those who are walking in the light as He is in the light. And since in Christ there is no darkness or error or false doctrine at all, then this biblical test for fellowship would actually prevent God's people from worshiping with any group or church who were not following, walking, and living in the truth, but who had a mixture of truth and error within them. And this mixture of truth and error brings about confusion in beliefs and practices. And this confusion of doctrine perfectly describes the condition of all the denominations of today, whether these are Catholic or Protestant or Adventist or Evangelical or full business, Pentecostal, including Buddhist, Hinduist, Islamic, spiritualist, occultic, and etc. So this means that all of the religious groups of today are disqualified to fellowship with because they are not walking in all the light, but have a mixture of truth and error in their beliefs, and they're unwilling to give up these errors to embrace the truth. And it is this confused mixture of truth and error which makes all these churches part of Babylon the Great, and thus we are to separate from them, not unite with them. Now, after God's followers separate themselves from all confused churches, the Bible then reveals that they can begin worshiping God and holding church services in their very homes with others who walk in the light. And even though their home church fellowship might be made up of 20 or less different members, yet we discovered that all together they make up just one body, not 20 or less different bodies, just one body. And for that one church body to properly function, each of the different members must be united and in harmony with one another. Now, we then understood last time that it is through this fellowshipping together that the character of each person will be tested, will be revealed, and once their character is revealed, then they're enabled to see exactly what areas in their character need to be corrected so that they may become perfect. And this perfection of character is accomplished by learning how to be united together as one with your fellow brothers and sisters in the faith. So perfection of character is achieved by learning how to dwell together in unity with one another. So then this means that if we choose not to fellowship with others of like faith, then we are also choosing not to become perfect in character. Quite a solemn thing to realize. But now history has clearly revealed to us that the bigger the home church group becomes in members, the more chance there is for Satan to enter into the church group through one of its unconverted members and thereby cause all kinds of problems which will threaten the entire body. And God recognizes this. And so in order to try and prevent this from occurring, God has given specific guidelines for those who are fellowshipping together to follow and abide by, especially when having to deal with any problems which may arise in the group. And these guidelines are not only designed to shut Satan out of the home church, but also to help redeem a brother or a sister who has fallen into sin so that they can continue to fellowship with their church family. And today we'll begin investigating into what these biblical guidelines are. And for those that would like to follow along with the notes I'll be referring to, you can find these on our website at lightministries.com/ID1961.htm. So what are these biblical guidelines for fellowship and unity with one another? You look at quote number one. Chapter 17 of John reveals to us a very beautiful prayer that Christ made to his Father while he was on this earth. And this prayer of his just happened to be the very last one recorded that Christ made before he died. Now, the Bible also brings out the principle that what God chooses to do last holds great spiritual importance for us to understand and to follow whatever principles of truth we discover. For instance, a whole lot of wonderful things took place during the week of creation. But what God did on the very last day of this week was of greater spiritual importance than what he did on any other day. Those who choose to follow the truth about God's Sabbath day being on Saturday, the seventh day of the week, and not Sunday, the first day of the week, or any other day of the week, and who truly worship the Lord God of this holy day, will be saved and will gain eternal life. But those who realize the truth about God's seventh-day Sabbath, and yet persistently choose not to keep it holy unto him, will be lost for eternity. So this clearly reveals to us that what God did last can be of more spiritual importance than what he did first. And Jesus revealed this same important principle in his teachings. And you can find this in Matthew 19:30 and Matthew 20, verse 16. So then, since John chapter 17 records the very last prayer of Christ, then what great and important spiritual truths does this prayer contain for all of us to understand and follow? Well, let's see. Among other important subjects, Christ relates the following in his prayer. From John 17:14 to 23, we're told, "I have given them thy word," or the word of the Father, "and the world hath hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word, that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And the glory which thou gavest me I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one, I in them, and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. So since this last prayer of Christ is of such great spiritual importance for us to understand today, then let us take some time to carefully go through each of these verses. And if you look at quote number 2, the first verse, John 17:14, I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Now this verse reveals to us that there is a vast difference between the word of God and the world. But what is this vast difference? How is it different? Well, the Word of God reveals to us that His Word creates and gives life. And you can find all the references there to back up that. God's Word is fulfilled, is settled, and will always come to pass. The Bible reveals that God's Word is the truth, that it is good and pure, that it is a lamp that gives light. God's Word will abide and work in us like a fire to consume all that is sinful, and will divide and separate us from the wicked one. The Bible reveals that God's Word brings joy and rejoicing. It brings blessing. It gives understanding. It will strengthen and uphold us. It will sanctify and keep us from sinning. The Bible reveals that God's Word cannot be bound, but it will grow and increase and multiply. God's Word will encourage hope, will bring deliverance and salvation, will bring God's mercy and reconciliation to us. It will bring comfort. It will prevail over all. And the Word of God is Jesus Christ Himself, and thus will live and abide forever. So all these wonderful things of God's Word will be accomplished for those who choose to live by this Word. But Christ also stated in this verse that those who live by every word of God will be hated by the people of the world. But why? If you look at quote number 3, from John chapter 3, verses 19 to 20. Light, or God's word of truth, is come into the world, and men loved darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh he to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. So God's Word shines the light of truth, and in doing so, it exposes everything that is false and evil. It dispels the darkness. So then this bright exposure of evil reproves those who are following evil. And therefore, the people of the world hate God's Word because they do not want to change their wicked life in order to follow God's Word. They do not want to come to the light. And since the people of the world hate the light of God's Word, then their hatred is also carried over to those who are following and preaching God's word. So they not only hate God's word, but they hate anyone who follows and preaches it. We're told in John 7, verse 7 and 15, verse 19. The world cannot hate you, referring to those who reject Jesus, but me it hateth, because I testify of it that the works thereof are evil. If ye were of the world would love his own. But because ye, or those who accept Jesus, are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. Now these verses plainly reveal to us that because the followers of Christ are not like the world, that the people of the world hate them just like they hated Christ. And what makes the followers of Christ so unlike the world? In Psalms 119, verses 101, I have refrained my feet from every evil way that I might keep thy word. Now this verse reveals to us that in order to keep God's word, then you must not follow any of the ways of evil. And since the ways of the world are evil, then you would not be like the people of the world in following God's word. So this then shows us that God's word is the exact opposite of the evil ways of the world. And the evil ways of the world are directly contrary to God's word. So then as God's people live more and more by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God, they become more and more unlike the wicked world. And thus the love of the world for them grows less and less, until they are outright hated by the world. But this also means that if you as a follower of Christ should discover that the world does not hate you, then this reveals that you must not be living by every word of God, because the people of the world only love and are at peace with those who are like them in character. So if you find that the world does not hate you, then you need to carefully examine yourselves whether you're in the faith. So that's some of the insights of verse 14. And if you look at quote number 4, John 17:15 is, I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. Now this verse very profoundly declares to us that there is evil in the world. But even though this truth is so plainly stated, many of God's people seem unable to fully comprehend this reality, that there's evil in the world. God's unerring word tells us that the evil ways of the world will negate, will make of none effect, and will corrupt God's word of truth. The ways of the world will refuse to follow God's word, but will transgress it. The ways of the world will bring tribulation and death to those who follow God's word. And we're also told that all the wicked plans of the world will not come to pass. They will fail. And then we're very solemnly told that those who put their trust in them will be cursed as the enemies of God. So then, since the ways of the world are so diametrically opposed to God's word, and in following the ways of the world, you become the enemies of God, undermining and corrupting and making of none effect God's word itself just by uniting with the world, then why are there so many professed followers of Christ connecting themselves with the world? In following God's word, they cannot be like the world. But in following the world, they cannot be keeping God's word. So you cannot be a follower of God and a follower of the world at the same time. It's one or the other. And you need to choose which one you're going to follow. In Joshua 24:15, we're told, "And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom ye will serve, whether the gods," or in other words, the ways of the world, "whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." So, dear ones, you need to choose today whether you're going to serve God and Him only, or you're going to serve the ways of the world and them only. Not try to do both, because it's impossible. Now, in choosing to serve the Lord and separating yourself away from all the evils of the world, God does not desire that you should be removed from this wicked world completely, or that you should isolate yourselves away from the world, because then how would the people of the world ever come into contact with God's word? How would they ever realize that their ways are evil and that they need a Savior, Jesus Christ, unless you're there to tell them and show them? So because it's God's will that His people remain on this wicked earth as His witnesses, then He promises that He will keep you from the evils of the world as long as you continue to follow His word. So that's verse 15. What about the next verse? If you look at quote number 5, John 17:16, "They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world." Now, this is the second time that Christ has stated this in His prayer. And since He has repeated this statement, then it shows that it is extremely important for all of His followers to understand it. We're not to be of the world, just as Christ was not of the world. So then, if any still believe that they can follow the ways of the world and yet still somehow be a follower of Christ, then you need to understand that you're greatly mistaken in this. You're either a friend of God, who is living by every word of his, and thereby you're an enemy of the world, or you're a friend of the world, and thereby are an enemy of God. You cannot be both at the same time. We're told in Amos 3, verse 3, can two walk together, in other words, united, except they be agreed? And it's that agreement that makes you part of and no longer innocent. So that's verse 16. And if you look at quote number 6 from John 17:17, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Now, the Greek word used here for sanctify is hagiazo. And this word translates and means to make holy, to purify or consecrate, including mentally, to hallow, be holy, sanctify. And that's Strong's exhaustive Greek concordance, word number 37. So then by living by every word of God will purify you. It will make you holy. It will consecrate and sanctify your mind, your life, and your character from every evil way so that you can become perfect. And there's no other way for you to be truly sanctified and perfected in righteousness except by following God's word of truth. If you look at quote number 7 from John 17:18, the next verse, as thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. But at what point does Jesus commission and then send his people out into the world? Is it as soon as they hear the truth? Or is there something more connected to this commission? Now, if you noticed, Christ does not send his people into the world in verse 18 until after they are sanctified by the truth in verse 17. The commission to go out into the world comes after sanctification through the truth. So this means that those who have heard God's word, but who are not yet following it, do not yet have Christ's commission to go and preach his word to the people in this wicked world. They're not yet ready to go forth. You know, what good would it do for you to tell others of the loving Savior if you yourself do not yet have Christ-like love for others in your heart? Or what good would it do for you to tell people to leave all the churches of Babylon if you yourself still belong to a Babylonian church? Your neglect to follow the truth yourself would undermine your message and make it of none effect to the people who hear you. And even more than this, because people see that your life does not match your words, then they will most likely reject all the truth that you share with them And in rejecting the truth, they will be lost. And all because of your hypocrisy. We're told in Proverbs 11, verses 8 to 9. The righteous is delivered out of trouble, and the wicked cometh in his stead. An hypocrite with his mouth destroyeth his neighbor. But through knowledge shall the just, or the righteous, be delivered. Now, in this hypocritical situation, it would have been better if you did not share the truth until after you were converted and became just or righteous, than it would be to try and share the truth while you were unconverted and unrighteous. So this clearly reveals why Christ does not commission and send his people out into the world until after they are sanctified by the truth, so that the message they bear would be profitable to those who heard it. Otherwise, they would go on their own authority without Christ sending them, and thus their message would be unprofitable to those who hear it. And in fact, this very situation occurred in history, and you can find it recorded in 2 Samuel chapter 18. And in this particular situation, it involved Cushai, who had received the commission to run and bear a very important message of truth to King David. And it also dealt with Ahimaaz, who had not received a commission, but decided to run anyway and bear his own message to King David. But you know, none of us should be like that self-sent messenger, Ahimaaz, who ran on his own accord without the vital message which King David needed, because his message benefited no one after he gave it. And so it all turned out to be a complete waste of time and energy. But we instead need to be like Cushai, whose commissioned vital message of truth was exactly what King David needed to hear. So then let us make sure that we are first following the truth of God's word, and then we can know that we've received Christ's commission to bear the vital message of truth to the world, which will then be for their eternal benefit and salvation. We're told in Jeremiah 23, verses 21 to 3. I have not sent these prophets, yet they ran, self-sent messengers. I have not spoken to them, yet they prophesied, and no one was benefited by their self-sent message. But if they had stood in my counsel, in other words, following the will and word of God, and had caused my people to hear my words, then they should have turned them from their evil way and from the evil of their doings. They would have been benefited and saved. So let us make sure that we're following the truth ourselves before we go and preach it to others. Now, if you look at quote number 8, this verse in verse 18 also shows us that just as God commissioned and sent Jesus to live and preach his word to the wicked world, And God also kept Jesus from being contaminated by the corruption in the world. So God would also do the same for his people in all ages, from that time forward, including today, while they live and preach God's word to those around them. We're told in Matthew 28:19-20, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you alway, protecting you from corruption, even unto the end of the world." Amen. Also in John 16:33, "In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." None of its corruptions remained with Christ. So then, since Jesus Christ overcame all the wickedness and corruption of the world while living in the corrupt world, and while living in fallen human nature, then this shows us that we, who also live in a corrupt world and also live in fallen human nature, can also overcome all the wickedness of this world through Christ by following his every word of truth. Amen, just like Enoch did. We're told in Philippians 3:7-8 and Philippians 4:13. "But what things were gained to me," referring to in the world, "those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung or worthless, that I may win Christ. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me." So while you're living in this wicked world, being tempted through your fallen sinful nature, enduring tribulation for your stand for God and his word, be of good cheer, because Christ has experienced what you're going through and has overcome to the glory of God. And since he did it, then you can do it as well through him. You can do all things. You can overcome all sinful ways of the world through Christ, who will strengthen you and be right there with you all the way to the end. And praise his holy name for doing so and for making it possible. So that's from verses 14-18. But what other important spiritual truths does the rest of these verses of Christ's prayer teach us? And this is what we'll continue investigating into next time. Oh, to be like the Savior, to overcome as he overcame. It's possible. But there's no way you can do it without giving your entire heart to Christ and living by every word that proceedeth out of his mouth. That's the only way. Not I, but Christ. That's what we have to keep before us in every time of temptation. Our closing song is Not I, but Christ. Please join with me. Not I, but Christ.
Not I, but Christ, to gently soothe in sorrow. Not I, but Christ, to wipe the falling tear. Not I, but Christ, to lift the weary burden. Not I, but Christ, to hush away.
Christ, only Christ, no idle words here falling. Christ, only Christ, no needless bustling sound. Christ, only Christ, no self-important bearing. Christ, only Christ, no trace of I be found.
Not I, but Christ, my every need supplying. Not I, but Christ, my strength and health to be. Not I, but Christ, for body, soul, and spirit. Christ only, Christ, here and eternally.
Amen. And if this is really our heart's desire, to give Christ our most precious possession that we own, ourselves, our heart, then he will make it a reality. Not I, but Christ. Shall we bow our heads and knees for closing prayer? Heavenly Father, thank you so very much for developing the plan of our salvation. And Savior, thank you for carrying it out. And dear Spirit, thank you for making it possible for us to live it in our lives and indeed avail ourselves of salvation. Please, dear Godhead, don't give up on us, though we've failed you many times, and please forgive us for each one of these failings. Forgive us for living for self and not denying self, but instead denying Christ. We repent of this, Father. And dear Savior, please wash us, cleanse us of self. Purify us and justify us and sanctify us and bring us before the Father. And dear Father, please accept us in the Beloved and clothe us with his precious robe of righteousness and adopt us into your family as your sons and daughters and you as our Father. And please, Father, pour your Spirit upon us in rich early and latter rain power. And Spirit, fill us with thyself. Plant Jesus on the throne of our hearts. Reprove, convict, and convert us of all of our shortcomings, all of our sins and failings. Help us to grow more and more away from self and into the image of our Savior. To be more and more separated from the world. And followers and doers of God's word of life. Help us to continue to perfect and to sanctify ourselves by allowing God to work within us this transformation, that we might indeed go from death to life, from evil to righteousness. And from self to Christ. Thank you so much for your word of life that makes all this possible. And for coming soon, dear Savior, to take us home. Those that have made a covenant with thee by sacrifice, giving their all, their heart, their life to you, for you are worthy. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. Praise God from whom all blessings flow, and praise the Lamb. So that is part of John 17, Christ's last prayer. And some of you may be asking yourselves, what does John 17 have to do with guidelines for fellowshipping and uniting one with another? And I think it will become very clear as to how John 17 applies to these guidelines as we continue. But are there any thoughts, any comments, any questions? Any testimonies or songs? Anything else that you'd like to share as we're now in our after church service? Please feel free to do so.
I'm not sure exactly how this message comes across. My message, not yours, brother. But I was thinking when Christ died on the cross, he died to the world. The world killed him. And if we're following Christ, we die to the world, maybe not on the cross, but it is a crucifixion of the old life, and we walk in the newness of life with Christ. Does that sound reasonable?
Amen. It sounds very reasonable. And yet it can also apply the other way. Christ died to save the world by dying to the world. The only way to save the world was to die. But Christ couldn't save the world by following the world. He can only save the world by denying the world. So it makes perfect sense, dear sister. But it can also be seen from the opposite direction. We cannot save the world by being of the world. We have to die to the world, like you were saying, in order to really save it by revealing Christ instead. So amen, dear sister. Quotation was put in the room from Galatians 2:20. I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Amen. So you're in the world, but you're not living the life of the world, you're living the life of Christ, because you have crucified the world, that Christ might be revealed. So, amen. Another comment in the room, it says, one cannot save someone by trying to be like them. Very true. If they need saving, then their own life is not something that should be copied and imitated because they need saving. So very true, dear sister. You can't save someone by being like them. You can't save the people of the world by being like the world to them. The only way to save them is to point them to the Savior. And you can only do that by allowing him to live in you, which means self. A hymn comes to mind. O soul, are you weary and troubled? No light in the darkness you see. There's light for a look at the Savior, and life more abundant and free. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. Through death into life everlasting, he passed and we follow him there. Over us sin no more hath dominion, for more than conquerors we are. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face. And the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace.
His word shall not fail you, he promised. Believe him and all will be well. Go to a world that is dying, his perfect salvation to tell. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory.
A request came in the room for the hymn, Take the World, But Give Me Jesus. Take the world, but give me Jesus. All its joys are but a name. But his love abideth ever through eternal years the same. Oh, the height and depth of mercy. Oh, the length and breadth of love. Oh, the fullness of redemption, pledge of endless.
Take the world, but give me Jesus, sweetest comfort of my soul. With my Savior watching o'er me, I can sing, though billows roll. Oh, the height and depth of mercy, oh, the length and breadth, oh, the fullness of redemption, which of endless life.
Take the world, but give me Jesus. Let me view his constant smile. Then throughout my pilgrim journey, light will cheer me all the while. Oh, the height and depth of mercy, oh, the length and breadth of love, oh, the fullness of redemption, pledge of endless life above.
Take the world, but give me Jesus. In his love my trust shall be, till with clear, brighter vision, face to face my Lord I see. Oh, the height and depth of mercy, oh, the length and breadth of love, oh, the fullness of redemption, pledge of endless life above.
I'm going to try to share the Spanish version of Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus. I put the lyrics in the room.
Oh, alma cansada y turbada, sin luz en la senda andarás. Al Salvador mira y vive, del mundo la luz es su faz. Fijas tus ojos en Cristo, tan lleno de gracia y amor, y lo terrenal sin valor será a la luz del glorioso Jesús. De muerte a vida eterna, te llama el Salvador fiel. En tu no domina el pecado, hay siempre victoria en él. Fija tus ojos en Cristo, tan lleno de gracia y amor, y lo terrenal sin valor será a la luz al glorioso Jesús. Jamás faltará su promesa. Él dijo, contigo yo estoy. El mundo perdido ven pronto y anuncia la salvación hoy. Fija tus ojos en Cristo, tan lleno de gracia y amor, y lo terrenal sin valor será a la luz del glorioso Jesús.
There's been a request for a hymn that I don't have in the room, but I know it myself. The doxology. Please sing along with me. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him all creatures here below. Praise Him above the heavenly host. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen. There has also been a request for the hymn, Under His Wings.
Under His wings, I'm safely abiding. Though the night deepens and tempests are wild, still I can trust Him, I know He will keep me. He has redeemed me and I am His child. Under His wings, who from His love can sever? Under His wings, my soul shall abide, safely abide forever. Under His wings, what a refuge in sorrow, how the heart yearningly turns to His rest. Often when earth has no balm for my healing, there I find comfort and there I am blessed. Under His wings, under His wings, who from His love can sever? Under His wings, my soul shall abide, safely abide forever. Under His wings, oh what a precious enjoyment, there will I hide till life's trials are over. Sheltered, protected, no evil can harm me. Resting in Jesus, I'm safe evermore. Under His wings, under His wings, who from His love can sever? Under His wings, my soul shall abide, safely abide forever.
Lord, take my heart, for I cannot give it. It is Thy property. Keep it pure, for I cannot keep it. I cannot keep it for Thee. Save me in spite of myself, my weak, unchristlike self. Mold me, fashion me, raise me into a pure and holy atmosphere, where the rich current of my love, the rich current of my love flow through my soul. Christ Object Lessons 159.
Why should I feel discouraged? And why should the shadows come? Why should my heart be lonely and long for heaven and home, when Jesus is my portion, My constant friend is He. His eye is on the sparrow, and I know He watches me. And I sing because I'm happy. I sing because I'm free. His eye is on the sparrow, and I know He watches me.
Let not your heart be troubled. His tender word I hear, and resting on His goodness, I lose my doubts and fears. Though by the path He leadeth, just one step I may see His eye is on the sparrow, and I know He watches me. His eye is on the sparrow, and I know He watches me. I sing because I'm happy. I sing because I'm free. For His eye is on the sparrow, and I know He watches me. Great.
Whenever I am tempted, whenever clouds arise, when songs give place to sighing, when hope within me dies, I draw the closer to Him. From care He sets me free. His eye is on the sparrow, and I know He watches me. His eye is on the sparrow, and I know He watches me. I sing because I'm happy. I sing because I'm free, for His eye is on the sparrow, and I know He watches me. Praise God.
I like to sing some of my, sorry, the dog is kind of whimpering a bit. Anyway, I like to sing one of my old favorite hymns. It is called, Lord, When Love Shines In. Jesus comes with power to gladden when love shines in. Every life that woke and saddened when love shines in. Love will teach us how to pray. Love will drive the gloom away. Turn our darkness into day when love shines in. When love shines in. When love shines in. How the heart is turned to singing when love shines in. When love shines in. When love shines in. Joy and peace to others bringing when love shines in. How the woe will grow with beauty when love shines in. And the heart rejoice in beauty when love shines in. Trial may be sanctified, and the soul in peace abide. Life will all be glorified when love shines in. When love shines in. When love shines in. How the heart is turned to singing when love shines in. When love shines in. When love shines in. Joy and peace to others bringing when love shines in. Darkest sorrow will grow brighter when love shines in. And the heaviest burden lighter when love shines in. Tis the glory that will throw light to show us where to go. Oh, the heart shall blessing know when love shines in. When love shines in. When love shines in. How the heart is turned to singing when love shines in. When love shines in, when love shines in. Joy and peace to others bringing when love shines in. We may have unfading splendor when love shines in. And a friendship true and tender when love shines in. When earth's victory shall be won, and our life in heaven begun, there will be no need of sun when love shines in. When love shines in. When love shines in. How the heart is turned to singing when love shines in. When love shines in. When love shines in. Joy and peace to others bringing when love shines in. Amen.
Along the same line, Love Lifted Me. I don't know if you have that song, dear elder. I was sinking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore. Very deeply stained within, sinking to rise no more. But the master of the sea heard my despairing cry. From the waters lifted me. Now save am I. Love lifted me. Love lifted me. When nothing else could help, love lifted me. Love lifted me. Love lifted me. When nothing else could help, love.
There's been a request for this hymn, Holy, Holy, Holy. Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, early in the morning our song shall rise to thee. Holy, 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 merciful and mighty God over all who rules thee.
Holy, 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 all the saints adore thee, casting down their golden crowns around the glassy sea. Cherubim and seraphim falling down before thee, thee. Holy, 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 though the darkness hide thee, though the eye of sin ferment thy glory may not see. Only thou art holy, there is none beside thee, perfect in power, in love and purity.
Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, all thy works shall praise thy name in earth and sky and sea. Holy, 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 merciful and mighty, Father, Son, and Spirit, all praises be to thee.
This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. Jesus is the light, I'm gonna let it shine. Jesus is the light, I'm gonna let it shine. Jesus is the light, I'm gonna let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine.
Hide it under a bushel. No.
I'm gonna let it shine. Hide it under a bushel.
No.
I'm gonna let it shine. Hide it under a bushel.
No.
I'm gonna let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine.
Everywhere I go,
I'm gonna let it shine. Everywhere I go, I'm gonna let it shine. Everywhere I go, I'm gonna let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine.
This little light of mine,
I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. I got the joy, 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 joy down in my heart. What? Down in my heart. What? Down in my heart. I got the joy, 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 joy down in my heart. Down in my heart to say. And I'm so happy, so very happy. I got the Lord and Jesus in my heart. And I'm so happy, so very happy. I got the Lord and Jesus in my heart. I got the...
I got the peace that passeth understanding down in my heart.
Down in my heart. Down in my heart.
I got the peace that passeth understanding down in my heart.
Down in my heart to say, and I'm so happy, so very happy. I've got the love of Jesus in my heart. And I'm so happy, so very happy. I've got the love of Jesus in my heart.
I got the wonderful love of my blessed Redeemer way down in the depths of my heart. Down in the depths of my heart. Down in the depths of my heart. I got the wonderful love of the blessed Redeemer David down in the depths of my heart.
Down in the depths of my heart to say, and I'm so happy, so very happy. I've got the love of Jesus in my heart. And I'm so happy, so very happy. I've got the love of Jesus.
Well, thank you for all the wonderful, beautiful singing. It definitely is encouragement to my heart, and I'm sure to others as well. Thank you so much. Dear ones, are there any other songs, any other thoughts that you'd like to bring forth? Please go right ahead.
Be happy, be kind, be loyal, be true. I'll meet you in heaven and live next door to you. Amen.
Well, I'm sure you may know this little hymn. If you do, please feel free to take a verse. With Jesus in the family, happy, happy home. Happy, happy home. Happy, happy home. With Jesus in the family, happy, happy home. Happy, happy home.
With Jesus in the daddy's heart, happy, happy home. Happy, happy home. Happy, happy home. With Jesus in the daddy's heart, happy, happy home. Happy, happy home.
Happy, happy home. Happy, happy home with Jesus.
With Jesus in the children's heart. Happy, happy home. Happy, happy home. Happy, happy home. With Jesus in the children's heart. Happy, happy home. Happy, happy home.
Con Cristo en la familia, feliz, feliz hogar, feliz, feliz hogar, feliz, feliz hogar. Con Cristo en la familia, feliz, feliz hogar, feliz, feliz hogar.
With Jesus in the church's heart, happy, happy home, happy, happy home, church, happy, happy home. With Jesus in the church's heart, happy, happy home, happy, happy home, church.
Happy Sabbath.
Say happy Sabbath.
Happy.
Sing it now. Clap your time. Clap your time. Clap your time. For joy. Jesus loved you here. Little hands. Sing. Clap your time. For joy.
Amen.
I'm going to sing 2 Chronicles 20, 17 and 15. Ye shall not need to fight in this battle. Set yourselves, stand ye still, and see the salvation of the Lord with you. O Judah and Jerusalem, fear not, nor be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them. For the Lord will be with you. For the Lord will be with you. For the battle is not yours, but God's. You shall not need to fight in this battle. Set yourselves, stand ye still, and see the salvation of the Lord with you. O Judah and Jerusalem, fear not, nor be dismayed.
tomorrow go out against him. For the Lord will be with you. For the Lord will be with you. For the battle is not yours, but God's.
Dear ones, thank you for a wonderful Sabbath gathering and fellowship. I pray that God will bless you richly and abundantly in the remainder of this Sabbath day and with a new week shortly coming. Keep looking up, keep growing in grace, and keep the motto firmly in your mind, not I, but Christ. And looking forward to fellowshipping with you again soon. I'd like to leave you with this scripture song. Not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. Not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord. Zechariah 4, verse 6. And may you have the fruit of the Spirit in your life.